5 4 3 2 1
Justin James.
And welcome back to the Justin James Show. This is Justin James. I am so glad that you are here. I know I haven't been around for a while because I decided to take a vacation. Is that okay? I think we're all entitled to a summer vacation. And now I'm back. And one of the big things that are happening is education. Of course, everybody's getting ready for education. I got my classes scheduled in last Friday. So I got all that done. That was fun. So looks like I'm just continuing to go forward and hopefully finish this massive degree, and as God just continue to bless us. So this show, this podcast is going to be about education. In fact, I want to do a couple of episodes on education. And the first one I want to do right out of the bat is dealing with homeschool. Homeschool has been a big topic. A lot of people have been talking about it. There's been a lot of social numerous different things. I know in the government, a lot of them are, especially on the left side, they frowned on homeschool. They frowned on charter schools. They frowned on anything that's going to take kids out of a socialized classroom necessarily. But as Christians, we stand on our morals and our beliefs, and we want to be able to teach those kids even in an educational format. So one of the big persons in my life who is a huge advocate for homeschool is my sister-in-law, Yvette. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Yvette on here. Hey, Yvette, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Justin?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming on. I know we've been talking about this for a while, but hey, listen, don't be scared. I'm going to walk you through this. It's going to be very easy. It's going to be smooth, okay?
Yeah, you can be scary.
Sorry. Well, I try not to be. I do wear my face once in a while, okay? That was a joke. All right. So Yvette, now you've been homeschooling your daughters, my nieces, for pretty much as long as they started education, correct?
Yes, this is going to be our seventh year homeschooling.
Wow. So what was the reason you decided to homeschool them?
Well, my husband and I, when we were first starting to think about how we were going to school our children, we wanted a way to school them that was going to be centered around the gospel, and that we were going to have control over what we were going to be teaching them and when, and what they were going to be exposed to and when, and that was really important to us. And as we've gone along, our philosophy of education has changed just through the years. We've honed in on it a little bit more. And now our basic philosophy is that we believe education is to know God and to make him known. And homeschooling gives us the best route to do that. So
how would you say that homeschooling is better than public education?
Well, both have their pros and cons, but for us, we saw that homeschooling gives us the smaller teacher ratios. You know, I just teach my children, and I teach them what I believe is important and what I believe is crucial for their upbringing to be good citizens in this society. So that's one thing. Just the fact that I do have more control over what I teach them and when, and as far as like the harder topics of science, and as far as like creationism versus evolution or things like that, and those can be kind of touchy topics in the Christian spheres, Go ahead.
Well, within that, isn't okay to teach? I mean, we now as a Christian, of course, I believe in creationism, but is it okay to teach them and let them understand what this idea of a theory of evolution is? Just so that way they can be able to understand that.
Yes, absolutely. And what I've grown to see is that our children are given to us as our responsibility from God. And with homeschooling, I can tailor their education to what I believe is good for them, the best way that I can for them. And we've recently started up with Classical Conversations, and Classical Conversations believes in a whole model. So yes, they are going to learn about evolution. They're going to learn about creationism, but I get to tailor when they're exposed to what. And I also get to kind of hone in on those things when I believe that they're ready. Because if we try to bombard them with all of the information up front, they're going to be confused. But if we give it to them in stages, then they're able to digest it a little bit better.
Well, definitely. And I mean, when you see the some of the things that are going on, especially in California, where they're passing laws literally saying, hey, we're going to teach you about gender identity at kindergarten.
Right.
I mean, first of all, that is not even what the state's supposed to be doing. That's not what public education is supposed to be doing, period.
Right.
That is a very, very eugenic level of pushing in an agenda to corrupt our youth. And of course, it's just only going to hurt our youth even more. And so, yeah, there is definitely a line in that. But one of the big things that we get pushed back, or you get, I know, is the social thing. Oh, well, your kids are going to understand how to interact with other people and things like that. How do you counter that? How do you deal with those questions?
Yeah. So, my children, I mean, it's funny that is the most common, objection to homeschooling is, you know, the socialization. But when I was in school, they always told me not to socialize, you know, and that we're not there to socialize, we're there to learn. And so it's just kind of funny to me. But my children,
I think that, you know, doing a team sport, you know, like in football or band or choir, those type of curriculum that does help building relationships and building friendships. I think that they're focusing more on those.
Yeah. But all of those extracurriculars are accessible to homeschoolers, all of them. And there's homeschool groups that you can be a part of. There's co-ops that you can be a part of, that you can join in on those kinds of things. Also, church group activities, youth group activities. I mean, we get socialization everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere that we go, anytime that we go outside of the house, our children are learning socialization. And so homeschooling just allows me to monitor a little bit more closely who they're socializing with, and to have a say of, you know, who their friends are, and, you know, just kind of be able to watch those interactions a little bit better.
And that's what a good parent's supposed to do anyway. And if you, because I know that you're an avid listener of this podcast, so you know that I really, really preach on that, and I really push that down, is how we raise our kids and why it's important to have a God-central family within that. But so let's move a little more further. What are the big questions is, what are the laws with homeschooling? Because again, we have areas of government, we have a group, we have the Democrats, they're very, very big on government, big government. And one of the big things they want to do is they want to remove school vouchers. They want to remove anyone pulling anyone out of a public school system. And it's not necessarily that the saying that, oh yeah, the public school system, it's the fact that it's a money grabber. And when I did work for a district, one of the big things is they had a money for each kid that was sitting in the classroom. Per day, they get a certain amount of dollars for that child. And so that's part of, I know that's probably a little bit more, but that's kind of the idea when you look at public education, when you see that, when they're dealing with, oh yeah, we just want the money to come in. So, but because of that, they put stricter laws on people trying to homeschool, or even charter schools, or even private schools, or school vouchers, or any of that, where that government money will automatically go right into other type of educational formats. So what are the laws? Is it against the law for me to homeschool my son? Is it against the law to homeschool, you know, my nieces? I mean, what is the laws on that of the land?
Yeah. So in Texas, Texas is actually one of the more favorable states to homeschool in. And by that, I mean that we are homeschoolers, homeschools are seen as private schools. And with that, we have freedom to set it up however we want to do, you know, however the days, however many days that we want to do, take our vacations when we want to and stuff like that. But also, the only three things that we need to make sure to do in Texas is that it needs to be bona fide. So it needs to be real. It needs to be visible. And I'm taking this straight from the Texas Homeschool Coalition website. It's tshc.org. So it needs to be bona fide. It needs to be visible in book format or video or something like that. And it needs to cover the main topics, reading, writing, arithmetic, and then good citizenship as well. So as long as you've got those things, you're good.
So, okay. So mainly is now, do you have required to build a lesson plan and have a syllabus or, sorry, that's my college coming out of me, but,
yeah.
Which I like the idea of having I don't like the less, I don't know why do they call in high school, why do they call it a lesson plan, not a syllabus? In college, call it a syllabus.
I have no idea.
Okay. It just bond on me. But okay, so you have to have some type of planned or at least you know, 1 through 16 weeks or whatever you want to do or however you want to set that up. Each week you're going to be doing these plans. So you actually have that in documentation?
Well, definitely. There are like with anything, right? There's going to be good and bad in anything that we do. There's going to be extremes on both sides. So in Texas, those are the things that they require that I just said, bona fide, visual, and reading, writing, arithmetic, spelling, good citizenship. Outside of that, we have total freedom how we want to set it up. Okay. Now, a good homeschooler is going to have those, you know, lesson plans, quote unquote, maybe not something so strict, but a plan that they want to follow for the year, so that they can say, yes, my child finished the school year in a good form, you know. But then you're going to have some on the other side where they're just, and I'm not, okay, let me back up. I'm not saying that one is better than the other, okay? I'm just saying that there's going to be a swing, okay? And we've all heard those stories where the homeschool kids are hurt or abused and stuff like that, and that would be a bad case, right? But then there are great examples of being planned, being organized, and having some sort of organization in your homeschool. So, but as far as laws goes, no, that's not required. You don't have to present that to the school district. Some states do. So I encourage everybody to figure out their own state's laws about that. But in Texas, that's not a requirement. So.
Okay. All right. With that, I had to take a quick break. Yvette, you mind hanging on just for a few minutes longer?
Sure.
Okay, great. Thank you again. And we'll be right back.
Okay.
Justin James.
If you need that aerial photo, there is no one else to call but O'Madden Aerial Photography. They are able to take stunning photos or videos of your place of business, home, worship, or just about anything you can think of. They are highly professional and they use state-of-the-art drone technology. Realtors love aerial photography because they are able to show the entire house to their clients. And churches love to be able to see their whole building that the Lord has provided. Whatever your reason, now is the time to call 972-834-4890. That is 972-834-4890. Or check them out at omaddenaerialphotography.com. Omadden Aerial Photography, the finest in the air.
Hey guys, this is Justin. With the football season already in full swing, I have to ask you, are you just watching your favorite team on TV? Or would you prefer the full experience, like you're right there on the field, by turning your living room into a fully surround sound media room? How? Well, it's simple. By calling Joe at Encore Home Theater at 469-877-3643. That's 469-877-3643. Joe has more than 25 years experience in the home theater business and will be able to answer any question you may have, and he'll get you the best price in town. No project is too small or too big for them. They'll come out just to help you mount a TV or create that perfect theater for you and your family. And with that big game just coming around the corner, now is the perfect time to call and set up that free consultation. That number is 469-877-3643, 469-877-3643. Encore Home Theater, are you ready for game day?
You're listening to The Justin James Show.
And welcome back. I am your host, Justin James, and you're listening to the Justin James Show podcast. Thank you again for downloading and listening to this wonderful show and all the wonderful topics that we go over. And again, if you'd like to be a part of the program, like always, you're welcome to email me at justinjamesshow@gmail.com. That's justinjamesshow@gmail.com. And I get some really interesting questions. And again, I've been on vacation, so please forgive me for not responding. I just needed to take some time to spend time with my family and just, you know, do some things I need to do around the house, you know, as a good Christian boy, right, Yvette?
That's right.
All right. So we're talking about homeschooling, and we're trying to determine what is better, homeschool or private school. And so I decided to bring my sister-in-law, Yvette, who I've known for, man, how long have I known you, Yvette? We've been like years. I mean, talking years.
Yeah. How long have you been married?
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna put you on the spot.
Oh, I've been married for going on 16 years, actually.
Yeah.
But
so
I
about
was,
that.
Yeah, I've been, but I've been dating
you. 17 or 18 years.
Yeah, it was about about 17, 18 years. Cause I think I started dating your sister about, about 17, 18 years ago. That's when I came into your life.
Yeah.
And it's been a great joy ever since. And, let me tell you, now I can assure you when Yvette says I'm scary, that's actually a compliment, right, Yvette?
Yeah,
I'm
of
scared.
Course.
Yeah. Well, I can assure you, we've had some pretty interesting conversations and within that. And but no, you are my sister, and not just in Christ, but you are my sister by blood. And I am so blessed to be a part of your life. And I know that.
Likewise, Justin.
Yeah, you are an amazing individual. And of course, you know that I just. Yeah, you know, and I love your husband, and it's kind of funny because if you put your husband and me next to each other, there's a lot of similarities, which is kind of scary. We're both very, very smart in theology, and we love the Lord. It's just kind of like, okay. Well, anyway, your parents have been praying for me and your husband for a while, and all right, so. We're talking about homeschool, and the thing that is really, how do we get started in homeschool? And like, I mean, because that's probably one of the big questions is, what do I have to do? Do I have to go apply for the state? Do I got to go to ETA, which is the educational, or Texas ETA, which is the Texas Educational Association? Do I have to go to TEA? Do I have to do all of these? What kind of loops do I need to go in to order to educate my child in my own house? What does that look like?
Well, I would say that it begins if your child is currently in the public school system, it would be to inform the public school. That would be your first step, just so that they know that he's not truant or that you are doing something at home. You do have to put in that withdrawal letter. I want to say that the Texas Homeschool Coalition.org has a lot of resources there if anybody's interested in looking at that. There's just so much that it's hard to get it all in on one show, but it's
with this letter,
PHSC.org.
Okay, I'll put that in the description of the podcast so that everyone can click onto it if necessary. So is on there is a letter that they, like a demo letter or a template, is there a certain language that you need to put on there? I mean, I'm assuming that saying, hey, listen, y'all don't know how to teach my kid, so therefore I'm withdrawing because y'all are having, you know, I mean, how do you do that? I mean, do you just like, or do you... are you just, is it one sentence? Listen, I'm withdrawing my son or my family or my children because I don't want no longer to be a part of your liberal, you know, conspiracy theory mess and indoctrination of these these camps called schools.
I would say keep it as friendly as possible.
Okay.
You don't want to stir the nest. You know what I mean?
Right. Because you know there's somebody that's going to want to do that.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure somebody has somewhere, but yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think that Texas has a specific, now, just to be clear, I have never had my children in public school, so I never had to go through that process, but I don't think that Texas has a specific letter that they're looking for. They just want notice that you're taking your child out of school to homeschool at home. There are templates online that you can use. THSC.org has a lot of those resources. There's a link on there, how to begin homeschooling, and it's there's just a lot of stuff on there, and I recommend. I know that's like probably the cop out answer, but
it's a cop out, Yvette. It's a cop out. I'm not gonna lie. No, it's
no, but really, I mean it's easy to get started. You make the decision, you let the school know, and then you start to decide on curriculum that you want to use. And there's so much out there. It's just a preliminary Google search will get you so many different hits, and it can be overwhelming.
Right.
But with guidance, with help from somebody, one-on-one help that, you can get through it. Anybody can do it.
Have you heard of any cases, because I know you've been around the homeschool community for a long time, have you heard about anybody the district would push back and saying, no, you cannot withdraw your child or something like that? Or
So I've heard of a lot of different stories, stories where the school board demands to know what curriculum that you're using or stuff like that, and that's outside of their bounds, that's outside of their reach, especially in Texas. Now other states might be required to give those that information, but not in Texas. There have been other cases where somebody reports a family because they think that something's going on in the house, and CPS ends up coming and finding that nothing is going on, but they still would remove the children from the home, stuff like that. And those are very sad cases, but I believe that they're not very common.
Okay.
I don't know the statistics on that specifically, but I've never had any negative encounters. Everybody that I typically encounter is has said great things about homeschooling. I mean, even strangers that I meet on the street and I tell them, oh, we homeschool, they're usually very favorable of it. So,
well, yeah. And I think that's one of the big draws or the big things of homeschool is that everybody knows. It's kind of a underlining thing. It's not even a legend. I think it's actual factual is everybody knows is that a homeschool kid is going to perform education or in an academic setting even stronger than somebody in a public school. The statistics are high on that, and I think everybody already knows that. You're homeschool. Oh wow, you're smart. And type of thing. And so I think that the results itself speak for themselves. I think that the facts of that do really speak for themselves.
That goes back to what I was saying a little bit ago, that it just depends on the type of homeschooling that you receive. I mean, there have been not so good cases, but there's been great cases. So, I mean, it just depends on your parents and the way they choose to do it. So,
well, so,
but yeah.
Well, I think curriculum is going to be very, you know, very important within that. So how do you do it? So if a single mom or dad are actually saying, hey, listen, I want to homeschool my kid, but I'm a working professional. How do you do that? How do you manage that? I know that you don't have the case in your house, but I'm just kind of I throw that out there because I know there's all kinds of people that listen to this podcast and are like, hey, listen, I want to homeschool my kid because I know it's going to be better than what they're getting at public school. And let me tell you, I have a lot of good friends that teach at public school, and public school, there are some wonderful teachers at public school that really pour into their kids and really, really try to help their kids learn and everything. But the number one complaint that I hear about public school is that they don't teach their kids to really how to think or even how to process information. Everything deals with the test, or in Texas case, the STAR test. Right. Everything has to come around the STAR test. The STAR test, again, it goes back to the money. So it goes back, if the STAR test is doing well, the school is going to get more money. They're going to get more, all of these things that they're going to get, you know, the requisite, you know, all of these are going to get bonuses, and they're going to be able to keep their jobs, because I have a friend who was a principal of a elementary school, and he literally went in there because the school did so bad on their testing where the district had no choice but to fire everyone in that school. Mm-hmm. And he came in to clean up all the pieces within that. And so we know these cases are real. Within that. So I think that a lot of it does with the curriculum. So how do you deal with the single mom and dad in homeschooling?
Yeah. I think with a great support system and encouragement from those around them, they can do it. I think a lot of times single parents just automatically throw in the towel and say, no, I can't because I'm a single mom or dad. But with a good support system and good encouragement, they can find their way through it. I think it takes a lot of organization. I think it would take a lot of dedication and commitment. And I think it starts with the why. Why do you want to homeschool? Mm-hmm. And what is your philosophy of homeschool? If it's going to be hard, no lie, it's going to be hard, and it's but you have to have that why nailed down. If you don't know why, then when those days get really hard, you're going to quit. So you've got to have your why nailed down and your philosophy of education.
Well, let's dive into universities. So how does I know that there's Christian universities, but let's kind of pull back broader on that. Cause I know a lot of people that went to homeschool, but they went to a Christian university and they were able to get in like that. But let's say that, you know, somebody wants to homeschool their son and their son wants to go to University of Texas, which, and so, but again, when you go to a state school like that, or you go to a school, even to any type of school outside of the Christian community necessarily. And I'm not saying that, I mean, most Christian universities, they're credited with SACS, especially in the region that we're in. And SACS is the college credit accreditation that every school goes through. I mean, the school you went to, the school my wife went through, I went through, your husband went through. Everyone who goes to college in Texas has to be a SACS credited school if they want accredited. And so, but anyway, they want to go and they want to get into the school. Do the universities support homeschool, and do they allow the student to attend a university? How does that work within acceptance letters and all of that?
Mm-hmm. So like I said earlier, it's becoming more and more evident that homeschoolers have a better bigger desire to actually go through school. If they are going to go to college, they're there because they want to be there. But also that their performance rates are going to be higher and stuff. So I've seen statistics where even public universities like to see those homeschool kids come through because, like I said, they want to be there. once you get to the high school stage, now in Texas, you're not required to keep transcripts. You're not required to keep a record of grades and stuff. But I recommend, and this is what I plan on doing when my daughters get to high school, is to keep a transcript. Keep a record of what they've taken and the grades that they've received and stuff. And yes, that is something that I put together. But I mean, that's what it takes to make a transcript, is that I list out what they're doing and I list out their grades. But the next, what are those two big tests that everybody takes before they go to school?
Oh, you mean the SATs? I forgot what the other one is. Yeah, because I took
ACT.
The ACT. Okay, I took the SAT. Mm-hmm. So,
So those, I mean, colleges tend to look at those more heavily if the student is homeschooled. And so, I mean, as long as you can, and I mean, honestly, when I did my SAT, I did not get such great scores, but all
no.
I needed to do.
You?
Yeah. Yeah,
no.
I didn't get such great scores on my SAT, but all I needed to do was take a remedial math or something in college. So, I mean, they still let me in. You know what I mean?
Well, math is not your, well, math is not your forte. And that's okay. Either is mine, but don't ask me to add 2 + 2 together. I always tell people all the time, I'm not a mathematician. I'm a theologian. Yeah. Probably doesn't help my case either.
Yeah, so I was a Bachelor of Arts major and English major, and so I didn't need to take all of the deep math, but I did end up, like, I think I went through, I don't remember. Anyway, but yeah, so if a homeschooler wants to get into college, they take the SAT, they take the ACT, and or one or the other, and they apply for colleges just like anybody else. And I mean, in Texas, we, like I said earlier, we are considered a private school. Colleges look at us in that light.
Well, that's kind of easy because you can say, hey, I'm the valedictorian of my class.
Right, exactly.
Unless you have twins, and then it's like, how do you find out what the valedictorian of the salutatorian is if you have twins?
And I've also seen a lot of homeschoolers taking dual credit classes and graduating high school with an associate's degree. I mean, it's very easy to do that nowadays.
Yeah, and they're pushing that a lot more, and I think that I appreciate that more. And because you're able to get in and start taking college credits, and it really kind of helps you. So within that, but I do think that they are trying to make the associate's degree. I'm starting to see a thread where they're trying to make the associate's degree into the next high school degree, which I don't know. That's yes and no, because if you're taking a college degree and you're trying to bring it down to a high school level, you're kind of taking away the aspect of what a real college degree is. An associate is a college degree. To have an associate's degree in that. And,
our high schoolers to reach up into college, not college to reach down into high school. So,
right.
So yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And within that. So, hey, we agree on something.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are the biggest challenges at homeschool? I mean, what are the biggest things that you have to do? Because, I can see some of the things where, you know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, you already had your coffee, you're in your house coat, and you're like, okay, girls, come on, it's time to go. It's time to go to class. And they're like, I don't want to get up. Or you're like, hey,
I would say that is the biggest challenge, for us, is to be, disciplined and organized and, to have a structure, to have a structure. I'm not saying it needs to be public school at home. That's not what I'm saying, but there needs to be some kind of plan as to what we're going to do. For us, we don't have a typical, like, okay, this is the time that we're going to be sitting at our table doing schoolwork. It's more of a, okay, after we do breakfast, after we do our morning chores, okay, now we're going to sit down and do school. And so that my kids know the flow of things. Mm-hmm. But with that, I mean, it, the later we wake up, the later we're doing school in the, you know, in the day. And
right.
So, I mean, it typically takes us about 5 hours to get through all of our schoolwork. And so if, you know, the earlier we start, the earlier they get done and the earlier they can go off and do whatever they want to do. And so that's one of those incentive things for them. If they want to sit there and complain about doing their math work, well, okay, you're just going to have to be there longer. I mean, you might as well just get it over with and move on.
Now, what do you do? What do you do in a situation? Because again, I mean, I'm okay in math, but you get me in calculus, I'm gonna lose. I'm already lost. you get me in Greek and Hebrew, I'm doing fine. It's kind of funny,
mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is that what do you do when you have a parent who's not strong in that area, so that mm-hmm. needs somebody to help with in this level of math or in this level of science,
mm-hmm.
or something like that? How do you do that? Because, I mean, I don't know if you remember The Incredibles 2, where he's like, math is math. Math
yeah.
is math.
Yeah.
They're changing math.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and Dash was a public schooler. So, I mean, yeah. I can see that. So, for me, I remember when my daughter was going into kindergarten, I was over here worried about, oh, what about geometry and what about algebra? And I don't know if I can teach her these things. Well, she was in kindergarten, you know,
right.
You build up to that, right? We did. We built up to that. So right now I tell everybody I have a fourth grade level math because that's where my kids are at and that's what I'm teaching. And I mean, obviously I have more than that. I've gone through more than that, but
right.
What do I actually remember right now? I mean, that's the fourth and fifth grade math that I'm working
right.
on right now with my kids. And so as time goes on, I will build into the algebra, the calculus. And it's that teaching them how to think, teaching them how to learn. I am a lead learner in our family. I don't know everything. And I tell my kids that I'm not perfect. I don't know everything. So if there's something that I don't know, let's figure out how to learn this now. There's resources, there's online videos. There's so much just at our fingertips. Google knows everything, right? So if you don't know it,
so
there's somebody who does.
So technically I can put in the equation of Google and it will solve it for me.
Yes, I don't recommend doing it that way, but you can ask her, how do I, or, you know,
tell me
the associative law for multiplication or whatever. And
actually, you're no longer Android. You have switched the Apple side. And let me tell you, I remember it because you come in, you looked at me with all seriousness. You're like, I did it. I switched. And I'm like, what do you switch to? And you pull out your iPhone, and I'm thinking, uh-oh.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man.
It was a great, great victory day for me. I wanted to dance. But
I still prefer Google on a lot of things, to be honest. So.
Oh, Suri's your friend. You just have to ask her. I promise you.
Mm.
Yeah. So, but those resources are really important. And, again, I think that the Texas Correlation of Homeschool, I think that their resources are on there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They have information about different curriculums. They have a lot of things on there to go through. But even just the basic Google search, like let's say you're dealing with ratios or fractions or something like that. I mean, a simple Google search
mm-hmm.
can get you YouTube videos or other resources online that can help. So.
Well,
there's always something.
Which is funny, and I will say this, because again, I was in a public school, or I worked at a public school system, an independent district, and when I was there, I would see the math teachers pull out YouTube videos, and use YouTube videos to help their kids understand the equation, or understand what's going. So don't feel bad about that, because if the public school does it. to help with their pedagogy, which is the art of teaching, or teaching, or the study of art of teaching. When you look at that and how you can relate that information out there, I think that's important. So it's not just, oh, we're just trying to cheat because you're in Google. No. YouTube does it all the time. And even in the public school system, and I know probably some of my listeners are probably, you know, flipping over right now or falling over. But the point is that what I want to say is they do it. So if they do it because they're trying to help their students understand it, it's okay. Right. I think it's okay for a homeschooler to do it as well.
Right. And I mean, children learn differently. Every child learns differently. So in one family, you could have multiple learning styles, and teaching it one way to one child may not work for the other child. And seeing those different videos or explanations on how to do things gives you more information. And that's what we do. I mean, outside of school, I mean, if we put school aside, if we don't know something as adults, if we don't know how to do something, what do? We look online, typically, nowadays.
Right.
Yeah, we research it. We look for video. All of those how-to videos, you know, that are on YouTube. That's what we do. And that's what we're teaching our children, is how to learn, how to find the answers to the questions that they have. So.
And again, that is the most important thing is teaching someone how to do research. And I think that's where that's one of the biggest things that one of my professors sat down and really one of my mentors, and he continues to pour into me every day, Dr. Schifford. I've had him on this program. And one of the things he taught me was, if you want to be a good theologian or even a good ethicist or whatever you want to do, in life, the first thing you need to learn how to do is be a good researcher. You got to learn where to find the information, is how to collect the information. And I think that's the most, that's one of the most important things, even in an undergrad level. And I see that even in a grad study now, that how important that is, because, I'm blessed to walk into these school into the classroom and see these freshmen coming right out of high school. They don't know how to research information. Because, again, a lot of them have been taught to do a test, not to create an environment of research and how to be able to pull out information and what is the right information within that. So, well, Yvette, it has been fun. Unfortunately, our time is gone. We could do this for hours, but I have to. You're going to come back on the podcast, right? Maybe in a little while, maybe in a couple of months or so?
Sure. It depends on the topic and... all of that. But, yeah.
Oh, there's lots of topics that we can talk about. Maybe we'll just bring the microphone over to the table one day. Well, Yvette, thank you so much for coming on the program. And again, if you have any questions for me or even for Yvette, you can email me at justinjamesshow@gmail.com. That's justinjamesshow@gmail.com. And if you have a question for Yvette, email me, and I promise you I'll get that question to Yvette, and I'll get the answer to you within that. So we definitely want to be transparent. So again, thank you so much, Yvette, and we appreciate it. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Justin James.